Hi, and welcome to this bonus episode of the Message Podcast. I'm Sam Ward, the Director of Ministry here at The Message. This is Mates on a Mission, a special audio version of the TV show which is currently broadcasting on Message Live, on our Facebook and YouTube channels, and on message.org.uk/live. Head over there to check out all our other great programmes that we've produced to help equip you for mission. In this episode, I'm chatting with Nancy Gowdy. Well, hello and welcome again to Message Live and to this Mates on a Mission. And it's wonderful today to have Nancy Gowdy with us. What an incredible opportunity to get to know the legend that is Nancy Gowdy. You may know her because she's the founder and leader of that amazing band Heartbeat, who then went on to head up NGM, New Generation Ministries. She has pioneered something that is well known as the Spiritual Health Weekenders, and the author of 17 books. How incredible. Welcome, Nancy.
Thank you, Sam. It's wonderful to be with you this morning.
I'm sure there's a whole bunch of things that I haven't mentioned there. And your life is so full of incredible things, and it's a joy to have you with us. I've just finished your 17th book. Who would ever have thought? What an incredible piece of writing. I absolutely loved it. It's so autobiographical, so vulnerable. I felt like you just like let us into the heart of your life and the heart of your ministry, laid it all out there in book form. I am so grateful for the generosity in which you poured it out. I wondered if you could tell us what the vision of the book was.
Well, I've been in full-time ministry now for 40 years. I can't believe that, 40 years. But I've wanted to mark it in some way, and I'm marking it with a celebration that happens in October. But also I wanted to mark it by telling the stories. We have so amazing stories that have happened throughout the years. And I wanted to celebrate God rather than celebrate Ray, my husband, or myself, or NGM, or anything we've done. I wanted to celebrate him and what he has done in us and through us. And so I wrote the book.
Wow. How long did it take you?
Oh, months. It really did. But the thing was, I had already started it before lockdown. And then lockdown happened. And actually, it gave me a fantastic opportunity just to concentrate on the book. So through those months, I did the book and finished it, which was great. But, you know, it's a large book. It's quite a long book because I didn't want to miss out, you know, some of the stories. But then I had to because it would have gone on forever, you know, but it's great.
And I feel like it's just like, you know, up to date. But what could come? I'm just amazed, you know, you could rewrite this in many years to come and there'd be a whole load more miracles.
Absolutely.
Stories. I felt like I really got to know you, I got to know Ray, and I got to know your ministry that you beautifully have led together for all those years. And I was surprised about how many similarities there were between NGM and the Message Trust, which is why you're a mate on a mission, I'm sure. You know, our paths as ministries must have so many times overlapped there. Even thinking about the kind of people that have engaged with both of our ministries. You talk about the people who have influenced you, like Louis Palau or Eric Delve or John and Rose Lancaster, who, again, have been huge influences on us. I wondered, who's been the most influential on your ministry throughout that time?
Well, all of those three that you mentioned definitely have. There are incredible times throughout our lives where they have just either partnered with us or spoken into us or whatever. But I think the person who is no longer alive now, but has influenced our ministry in a huge, particularly what I do, is the man called Smith Wigglesworth, incredible man of God. And yet he was so ordinary. And that's what gets me, because God can use ordinary people like you and me. And that's why I called my book, Who Would Ever Have Thought? Because who would ever have thought that God could use Ray and I, two ordinary people from Scotland, you know, who came to England on a call of God of over 6 months. And God has just done incredible things. So Smith Wigglesworth really encourages me, builds me up. Anything I can read about his life really builds my faith, which is great.
It is brilliant. And I love that thought, whoever have thought, right the way through the book. I see it mentioned actually on a number of times, whether that's about yourself or Ray or even your children. Who would have ever thought, you know, you'd be used in ministry? That's a beautiful thing that I suppose keeps you humble, doesn't it? you know, when you're trying to build something all the time and trying to grow stuff, how do you stay humble and all that must be tricky. You talk all the time, consistently through your book, about having seasons of plenty and seasons of want, what it's like to have lots of things and then sometimes having nothing and waiting on God to provide those miraculous come through at the last minute to provide just what you need, the perfect gift at the perfect time. And I wondered, how have you sustained that life of living by faith?
Well, to be honest, all these things that have happened through our lives, really, I'm being honest here, it's all to do with Him. And it's all to do with our intimacy with Him. Because if we didn't have the intimacy with Him, then our faith would not grow. And it's so important for each of us to have that deep relationship with Father God, who loves to provide for His children. And as it says in the scripture, He is not poor, He's rich and He's got everything we need. And if we go to Him, then He can gladly give us everything we need. But sometimes it comes at the last minute, and sometimes it's provided way ahead of what you need. I remember one time when we were praying for a missions and arts center. In fact, it was John and Rose. They phoned us up and said, "I believe God wants to give you a gift." And we thought, "Is it going to be 20,000? Could we believe for 40,000?" And what they did was they gave us a gift of £1 million, and it floored us. And we had it ahead of what where the property was. It took us 5 years to get the whole of the property and to build the property. But it sometimes is ahead, sometimes is after our time limit, but God always provides.
And that certainly has been the way it has been here at the Message Trust. We feel like we've been like the 11th hour ministry at times, where, yes, we're beginning to make plans, do we need to let stuff go? How are we going to keep this thing afloat? And then the Lord comes in at just the right time. And,
absolutely,
with hindsight, you look back and say, "Oh, I always had it." But in that moment, you're like, "Oh my goodness, Lord, we need you to step in." But that story about your provision of the building is incredible. And I love how you write about it so beautifully, that, you're expecting to move. Then, when are you going to get the right gift or the right money to be able to do it? And then the money comes in, but yet you still can't find the right property, mm-hmm. And it takes you 5 years. Absolutely amazing.
And so, it took us 5 years, and it was £3 million that God provided for us, which is just incredible. Wow. And if I had known that it was going to be a journey of faith for £3 million, before we started, I would never have started. But God led us bit by bit by bit, and He gradually increased our faith. And that's how He seems to work.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? It's the slow stretching of our faith, rather than the, here you go, it's this massive gift of faith all in one go. Yeah. He slowly draws us into an ever deepening faith with Him. That's beautiful. I love it. In your book, you say this amazing line that got me thinking, and I wanted you to unpack it for us. You say, we can so often miss out on God's many blessings because we don't ask Him what He wants us to do. And I wondered, can you take us deeper on that?
Yeah, I mean, something that I have always done, probably didn't realize it at the beginning of my life, but as I grew up, what I wanted to do was to do what God told me to do, and to go where God told me to go, and also actually to say what God wants me to say. And that has been, I don't know, just the kind of foundation of who we are. Both Ray and myself, we wanted to just do what God had called us to do. But so many times, we as people decide that this is a great idea or that's a great idea, instead of actually going to God and saying, "Do you think this is a good idea, Lord? Do you want me to do this?" And it's so important, I think, for each of us to say to God, "God, what do you want me to do today? What do you want me to do in this mission? How do you want to proceed with this?" And often if we listen to His wisdom, that might be completely different to the way that we were thinking of doing it, that actually God, shows us the best for ourselves and for others around us.
Love it. And the key in that is hearing God's voice. And throughout your ministry and throughout your life, you can point to times in which you've heard God's voice very clearly. You're able to detail so incredibly through your book. And then the Lord spoke. We were convinced God was saying, and God put people around us who were helping us here. And I wonder, what is the secret to knowing God's voice?
Well, I think there's several things. One is obviously reading your Bible, prayer, being open to what God is saying, not thinking you've got all the wisdom, but actually asking God for wisdom. And I believe there's three steps to great faith, and the steps are hearing, obeying, trusting. If you just hear what God says and you don't go on to obeying what God says, and you don't then go on to trusting what God says, you don't develop great faith. I think it's important that actually we develop not only our hearing, but actually take further steps from that and not just listen to what God is saying, but actually obey what God is saying. And people find that difficult. They find it difficult because maybe God has said to them, I want you to come into full-time Christian work like he did with us. And you think to yourself, well, I've got a mortgage, I've got bills, I've got this. And you list out all the different things that are obstacles. But if God has called you, he will overcome those obstacles. And that's exactly what happened with Ray and I. We heard, we had to obey, and then we had to trust that actually what we were doing was the right thing to do. And that seems to have been the pattern of our lives. But not only that, but if you read the Bible, if you read the scriptures, you will see that people like Elijah and Elisha and other people, other major figures in the Bible, all went through the same steps: hearing, obeying, trusting.
Do you put that stuff in your spiritual health weekenders? Is that the kind of thing that you help people to focus in on?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I hold my spiritual health weekend once every year, have done since 1997, would you believe? Wow. And the teaching is always, I go to God and say, God, what do you want me to say for this year? Yeah. And God, gives me stuff that he wants me to say. And I'm blown away every time. I shouldn't be, but I am blown away every time at how relevant the teaching is to everyone who comes to the weekends. And we see incredible things happen through those weekends, just blown away by them. But it's important to do that and put the teaching in that's relevant.
How many people have you had through your spiritual health weekenders over the years?
Oh my goodness, it must be, it is thousands and thousands. There's about 600 every year. Wow. And some of them come back. Some of them go and tell their friends, and they book in as well. And this, actually, it was supposed to be next year, but because of COVID, we're delaying it until 2022 in the hope that we'll be able to hold a large conference in Birmingham. And that's going to be my 25th anniversary of holding these weekends. So I'm hoping that we can open it up to as many people as possible. I've got a fantastic hotel, a 4-star luxury hotel. And yeah, we get people not only from Britain, but from abroad as well. We also do one in Spain, by the way, which is great, but I can't do it this year.
Spain or Birmingham. Yes. I loved just how honouring your book was. Right the way through, you are thanking those who have journeyed with you over the years. And it seems to be, one of the things we talk about here is mates on a mission. The fact that we want to journey over many years with the same group of people who share the same heart. I wondered if you could give me the secret into sustaining long-term relationships.
To be honest, I think it's one thing in particular, and that is not to get offended. We so often, as people, take offense. We take offense that maybe someone says something and they didn't mean it the way that you maybe thought they did. And of course, you build up this thing in your mind that they said this and they meant this and they meant that. And actually, if you talk to someone, they perhaps didn't mean that. And so I think the kind of the major thing is, don't take offense. Instead, forgive, obviously, which is a biblical principle to do so, but also talk and communicate and go in and share your heart with them in a nice way, not, you said this and you said that, but actually say, what did you mean when you said that? And try and talk it through so that you understand. But I've been honouring in my book of people who have travelled with us, because I value friendships and I value people who have stood with us for, all the years of our lives. A man called, and you probably know him, but he's no longer alive now, called Ken McGreevy. He was the pastor in British Youth for Christ when Ray and I started in there. And we we asked him right at the beginning of Heartbeat, would he be our pastor, mentor, whatever? And he and his wife Hazel have stood with us for all the years until he died. And he used to say to us, Ray, Nancy, I will never pray for something for you guys, or for myself, I should say, I would never pray for something for myself that I haven't already prayed for you guys. I would first of all pray that for you. And I just think, what a man of God. I have to honor people like that, you know, because they've been absolutely amazing.
Oh, it's so, so good. And I just felt that culture, the way in which you've lived, in which, you know, you've journeyed with people, but just the way throughout your book, you're thanking everybody. You know, you're so, so grateful for the people that God has placed around your life. I was really, really struck by that. I think that's a very precious thing to cultivate in your life. You talk so beautifully about the healing power of God. So many stories throughout your book, how God has come through and healed at just the right time. I wondered, you know, are you still seeing that same level of healing, or do you feel like healing comes in seasons for you in your ministry, or maybe in general? You know, is there times when there just is such a move, a powerful move of God? You know, you talk about seasons of revival, and I wonder if there's seasons of healing.
Yeah. I would say there could be seasons of healing. Certainly in the 80s, when we were with Heartbeat, we saw incredible healings happening. But also 5 years that I've held the Spiritual Health Weekends, I have seen just as incredible healings at those weekends as well. I mean, for instance, a woman who was crippled in a wheelchair suddenly got up with the power of God, got prayed for, and actually danced up and down the aisles. It was amazing. Another lady who couldn't bend her knees, she bent her knees up and down, and she was showing everybody in the audience what it was like. And so we've had quite significant healings, and also not just physical healings, but emotional healings. And I remember a lady this year who came to the Spiritual Health Weekend this year, and she told me her story of how her partner was very violent and very cruel. And he at one point pulled a gun on her and pointed it at her head and was ready to pull the trigger. And she said she thought her life was over. And she, at the last minute, he turned the gun on himself and blew his brains out in front of her. So you can imagine how traumatized she was. She came to my weekend, she gave her life to the Lord Jesus, and that night and every night since, she has slept 8 or 9 hours.
Wow.
And not been affected by any of the nightmares that she used to have before. So we are seeing quite a lot of healing and emotionally as well as physically. But it is something that we go for in prayer. It is something that we ask God to do, not only to save people, but to heal people as well.
And how important is that? You know, if we're not asking, then we're not going to see. But I'm just even thinking about, you know, as we come out of the COVID season and what lies beyond, just how much healing we're going to need in our nation, whether it's physical or whether it's emotional. And I wonder if there will be a new move of healing in our nation. And I'm sure you'll be praying for that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We've not got long left. I wondered, do you have a word of encouragement for us as the Message Trust?
Certainly. First of all, I just love the Message Trust, I have to say. You know, Andy has been a close friend for many, many years, and it's brilliant actually to see how the Message Trust is expanding and growing. And I think, you know, good, that's fantastic. The more that people can have success in the kingdom of God, that's so important. You know, for me, I think the message that has been the most important message for me, I think I want to pass on to you guys, and that is, don't ever give up. I remember Luis Palau, right at the very beginning of the time when God called us into full-time work, I remember hearing him teach, and he said, your biggest temptation will not be sex, money, or power. He said, those are the three biggies that people talk about. But actually, I want to tell you, your biggest temptation as people in full-time Christian work is actually to give up. The enemy will come and he'll whisper in your ear, just give up, you know, just give up. And he's done that to me many, many, many times over the years. And each time I have to remind myself, no, that's the enemy speaking, and I will only do what God has called me to do. And so I would say to the Message Tribe, you know, don't give up, keep on going. And also another thing I want to say to you is the best is yet to come. I believe that with all of my heart, that the best is yet to come. You know, my husband died 4 years ago, and it was the most traumatic thing that has ever happened to me. And I lost my best mate, I lost my friend, I lost everything at that point. And the enemy turned in my ear and said, God has turned his back on you, turn your back on him. And I didn't. I chose to trust God. And God, I have to say it, tell you, God has just been amazing to me. Amazing to me. He is with me. He's for me. He's my husband. He's my partner. He's my friend. He's my king. He's my God. He's my savior. I just love him. I can't tell you how much I love him. And I know that the best is yet to come for me, but it's also the best is yet to come for the Message Tribe too.
Wow, thank you so much. That's just incredible. What an encouragement to us. Thank you. And actually, I can tell how much you love God, because you can't keep it in. It just flows out of everything that you do and all that you say. Really grateful. So you've got a 40th year celebration. I saw that right at the end of your book. You kind of talk about, you know, rain or shine, there will be a celebration to come. So tell us the details.
Yeah, it's going to be on the 10th of October. It's a free event, but you have to register for it. So if you go onto my website or NGM's website, mine is nancyguidy.com, NGM is ngm.org.uk. You can find details on it in the events column. And all you just do is click on it and say you want to watch. And it's going to be from 1:30 till 3:30. And it's a celebration of all God's done. It's telling stories of what God's done. It's thanking people who have traveled with us. But it's mostly saying, God, thank you for your amazing grace. And we look forward to all that God's going to be doing in the future too.
Fantastic. The future is really exciting. I love all that God has done through you and all that God will do through you into the next season. Thank you so much for joining us today. Thanks, Nancy.
Thank you, Sam.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, why not share it with a friend? And don't forget to check out all the great programs we're producing for Message Live on YouTube, Facebook, or at message.org.uk/live.